text that we're going to look at tonight is different from the text that is listed there in the bulletin. We're going to look again at this description of the bride, the city, the temple, the garden that God describes, that we have the joy and the privilege to be a part of, to have a taste of now in the Lord Jesus, and what we have to look forward to when the Lord Jesus takes us home to glory. And then when the Lord Jesus comes in glory to make all things new in utter perfection throughout his universe. So please give careful attention now to the reading of God's word, Revelation chapter 21, and we'll begin reading again in verse 22. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. And then back in chapter 21, in verse 9, then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Well, in this portion of Scripture, we have before us a description of God's people. Notice the analogies or the metaphors that are used throughout this section. In chapter 21, he refers to his people as the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And then we see God's people described as a city, the holy city, Jerusalem, and then the temple of God's people, Jesus himself being the temple and us as living stones joined together for his abode, his dwelling place. And then in chapter 22, a garden, a place of incredible lush foliage and this river that flows with the not just one tree of life, but on either side of the river, a whole forest of trees of life, bearing fruit so that it would be for the healing of the nations. Well, we've been looking at these descriptions, these pictures that God paints for us of his people are just incredibly rich. And you remember when we began our study going through the book of Revelation, I mentioned that the book of Revelation is perhaps one of the richest of all the portions of Scripture to take biblical themes and threads and passages from all over the Scriptures and to weave them together to paint this incredible tapestry that God has revealed to us of the Lord Jesus, his person and work. The book of Revelation, properly understood as God intended it, I believe, indeed, is one of the most encouraging portions of all of Holy Scripture, showing us that even though sin is real, it is present, it has devastating consequences, that yet in the midst of that darkness, Jesus is the light of the world, and he is at work. Turn back with me to chapter 1, and I want you to notice the promise that we saw at the beginning of this book. We'll start reading in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. He bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Now notice verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, And blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And so tonight we want to look at one more theme that we just began to look at last Lord's Day evening. Before we press on, I'm eager for us to look at the end of the book of Revelation, of this series of applications that the Lord records for us, beginning in verse 6 to the end of the chapter in verse 21 of Revelation 22. But before we look at that, Lord willing, next week, I wanted us to spend just a few more minutes together looking at this theme of the Lord Jesus Christ being the river of life. What a sweet, powerful, encouraging theme this is. And we see that in Revelation chapter 22 in verses 1 and following. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And as we saw this invitation, the practical application of God showing us these things earlier in chapter 21. Turn back there, and we see in verse 5, he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." Here we see, if you're thirsty, this invitation to come and drink of the water of life. And then in chapter 22, again in a section of application, we see the same invitation repeated. In verse 17 of chapter 22, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty, "Come." Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. And so you see, after this glorious description of heaven that we saw in chapter 21, we have a section that applies. Well, what does that mean for us? What should we be doing? What should we be doing now in light of these glorious truths? And it is that we ought to be drinking of the water of life now. The same thing in chapter 22. We have this wonderful declaration of these precious truths in verses 1 through 5. And then in the section of application, what do we see? In verse 17, the Holy Spirit, not only does He testify, inviting us to come, drink of the water of life. He causes us to be thirsty for Jesus and then graciously supplies this river of life. But He moves in our hearts who have drunk of the river of life to join and to echo this glorious gospel call. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. And you remember, we've seen that today is the day of salvation, that a day is coming when this offer will no longer be in force. It will be too late. And so today is the day of salvation. Well, what does God want us to understand from His Word about this water of life? And just by way of quick review, we saw in the Gospel of John, chapter 7. And if you'll turn there with me, we won't look at it in detail. But we saw in John chapter 7, during the period of time Jesus walked on this earth in His earthly ministry, He had gone to Jerusalem. It was the Feast of Booths. And the Feast of Tabernacles was a feast that God had instructed His people to participate in, remembering how God had provided for them in the wilderness. They were to make little huts out of palm branches, and they were to celebrate how God had provided a shelter for them. Not only had He redeemed them powerfully from bondage in Egypt, but He had rained down manna from heaven. He had instructed His servant Moses to speak to the rock and strike the rock with His staff. And He said, water will come forth. And you remember that a river of water flowed forth. We're not talking about just a little bit of water. We can extrapolate from the book of Numbers, the men of war, and a conservative estimate. At least a couple of million Jews were rescued from bondage in Egypt. That's a lot of people to supply water for. And they are in a desert where there is no water, none to speak of. A few little places here and there with a meager little oasis. Where will the people find enough water? Not only to have just a little bit to drink, but to bathe and to water their livestock. And God provided that river. The Jews had added all kinds of man-made rituals, and one of the rituals they had in the Feast of Tabernacles was they would light this huge menorah, signifying that the pillar of fire was there, God's presence. And that's the context of Jesus declaring in John chapter 8, it's the same time period, I am the light of the world. Whoever doesn't have faith in Jesus walks in what? Darkness. You can have your religious rituals, Jesus is saying to the unbelieving Jews. You can light your menorahs, but you will still be in utter darkness, unless you run to the one who is the light of the world. Well, this declaration that Jesus is the living water, they had another ritual. On the great day of the feast, they would tip over this huge brass laver, and it would be full of water, and the water would just gush down the steps of the temple complex. And it was a reminder to the people of how God provided the river of life, the river of water that kept them from dying of thirst in the wilderness. But of course, that ritual couldn't save anybody. It was just a man-made ritual. It was empty. God hadn't even commanded it to be done. And even the rituals that God gives to us, like the Lord's Supper and baptism, in and of themselves, they can't save. Only Jesus can save. And so in John chapter 7, verse 37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus is the source. He is the living water. In John chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me. And these passages in John surely caused the people there in Jerusalem who heard him, who were understanding of the Old Testament. In Ezekiel chapter 47, God gave Ezekiel this vision of water flowing from underneath the altar there in Jerusalem. And it came out, and the further it flowed, the deeper and bigger the river got. And it flowed from Jerusalem all the way down to the Dead Sea. And wherever the river went, whatever the river touched, it gave life. It even transformed the Dead Sea from this barren, lifeless place to be a lush oasis full of life. But not completely. There were still salt marshes. And we know from that prophecy that the Lord is giving us a picture, not of heaven, but of the river of life that is flowing in this fallen world. There's still going to be little pockets of sin here and there. But wherever Jesus flows, wherever he goes, he brings life. Well, in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, verse 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus is the living water. Let's look at another portion of Scripture over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. One old godly pastor years ago said that Isaiah 55 was the John 3:16 in the Old Testament. And that's kind of thrilling to think about. Isaiah 55. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food." And he goes on describing this glorious Savior who offers himself in the gospel. We are invited, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Now, last Lord's Day, we looked at Isaiah 35, and this passage of Scripture describes how the wilderness is going to be transformed into a lush garden. And what changes the wilderness into a lush garden? A river comes. And this river is none other than a person. This person who is referred to here in Isaiah 35. And last week we went over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, and we saw that John the Baptist was languishing in prison. And he began to have doubts. If Jesus is Messiah, why am I still sitting here in Herod's prison, awaiting who knows what? Possible execution, which is what happened to him. And he can't go, but he sends two disciples. And these disciples come and say to Jesus, are you the promised one, or do we look for another? That's what John wants to know. At that very hour, Jesus did all kinds of miracles in their presence. And then he quotes from Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61. And he says, blessed is he who is not offended over me. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. And then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And so here's this picture of the river of life coming. The river comes, and what happens? It saves people from sin, from the effects, from the debilitating, horrifying consequences of sin, the guilt of sin, and all the things that flow from it. Jesus is the river of life. He literally made blind men see, deaf people hear, lame people leap for joy. Over in Isaiah 61, he also makes reference to this, how that those who would see Messiah, that the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Years ago, I had the privilege of preaching from this very text in one of the prisons here in the area. And one of the inmates came up to me afterward, and he said, you know, he said, what a joy it is to think that Jesus has set me free, even though I'm still in prison. He says, I'm a free man. I no longer am under the bondage of sin. I'm no longer held by the fetters of guilt. I'm free. He says, I'm more free than some of the guards who walk out of here every day. He said, I'm a free man because Jesus has set me free. That's what the river of life does when it comes to take barren, broken, desert, waste lives and transforms and gives us life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at another passage of Scripture, this time over in the book of Psalms, Psalm 46. We really don't have time to explore all of these just amazing backdrops to this picture the Lord paints for us in Revelation 22, but we'll look at just a few others before we close. Psalm 46, to the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. So here's the picture. The world is falling apart for the psalmist. The mountains are shaking. Everything that you thought that you could count on is crumbling beneath your feet. The mountains are trembling and being moved into the heart of the sea. They're just collapsing. The sea then is just turned into a roaring a cauldron of turmoil. But God is our refuge and strength. And notice verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And then God addresses his enemies. And he says, stop. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so in the midst of the siege, there's turmoil, there's sin, there's horror. But what is it that God's people have the joy of experiencing? Verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And so, yes, when Jesus comes again, bodily, physically, to end history, he's going to make all things new, and we will enjoy what we see there in Revelation 22 in utter perfection. But we also had the joy of drinking of the river of life now, of drinking of Jesus by faith, of having our sins cleansed away, of having God comforting our hearts and blessing and keeping us, even in the midst of great turmoil. The river has come and has changed our barren, broken, wasted lives into an oasis, because Jesus is present to save. Now, it's not perfect this side of heaven. We still struggle with sin. We still struggle with the sin of others around us. But we are those who, by the grace of God, are privileged to walk by faith. Just a couple of other passages before we close. Let's go over to the book of Isaiah again. Let's uh, Well, for the sake of time, let's just go over to chapter 51. Chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. And let's look. We've got a couple of... Well, I can't resist. Go back to chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. And we'll start reading in verse... this is one of the servant songs. It's quoted... Well, let's look at verse 6. He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." And that's quoted over in the book of Acts as the gospel was going forth to the Gentiles. "Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritage, saying to the prisoners, come out, and to those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways, on all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them, for he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Behold, those shall come from afar. Behold, those from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sin. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on the afflicted." The last passage we'll look at is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And so all of these prophecies, there's a number more in the book of Isaiah. We don't have time to look at this evening. If you're interested, or maybe this coming week, prayer meeting, we'll look at some more of them. But the last one we'll look at tonight before we move on in our study of the book of Revelation next week. This glorious truth that Jesus is the river of life. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." And I want you to just stop and look at that. The rock was Christ. And what was the significance? Well, he was struck, and a river of life-giving water came forth. And Jesus, he was the one who died upon the cross, and he has opened up the river of life for us. And so the application, we've read it tonight at the beginning in Revelation 21. "To the one who is thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." Jesus paid for it. And at the end of Revelation 22, verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. and let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Praise God. The Lord Jesus, He is that river of life. He not only washes our sins away, He comforts us. He refreshes us. He continues to revive us. We would grow tired and weary and give up. But the river of life, even in the midst of a besieged city, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. We experience this by faith now. The day will come when our faith will be sight. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for providing the river of life to transform the desert into an oasis. We look forward to that glorious day when You come and end history, Lord Jesus, and make all things new. Until that day, You have work for us to do. And You are our strength in our life. And so we embrace You, Lord Jesus, by faith, anew this night. We drink of You in faith. You're the living water, Lord Jesus. And You promise that woman at the well, and You promise us that if we come to You, our thirst will be satisfied. We won't be a barren, broken desert anymore, a wasteland. Lord, that's where Adam and Eve ended up when they rebelled against You. They were driven out of the paradise into the wilderness. And You, Lord Jesus, began Your earthly ministry in the wilderness and did hand-to-hand combat with Satan and defeated him. Being perfectly faithful to the Father, and You as our substitute laid down Your life on the cross. And in Your providence, O living God, that soldier took his spear and ripped Your side open, and water and blood flowed out. And so, Lord Jesus, we look to You. We beg that, Lord, You would please give us Your Spirit, that we would continue to have hearts that are embracing You, Lord Jesus. Don't let us grow cold and callous to You. Lord, cause us to be those who continue to drink of You day in and day out, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the living water. And Lord, that You would use us to, as we see there in Revelation, You instruct us to tell other people, come. And so Lord, stir us up. Give us hearts of compassion. Give us boldness whenever You give us opportunity to speak to others of You, the living water, that we would be eager and willing to do so. Father, please bless us. Lord, those of us that are older, Lord, we need You, Lord Jesus, to refresh us. Lord, our young people and children, Lord, they have much in front of them. And so, Lord, they need You to be their river of life. They need You to cause their life to be a little oasis in the middle of a desert. Bless, Lord, and keep them drinking of You, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we beg for our nation. Have mercy upon us, O living God. We looked last Lord's Day at Jeremiah chapter 2. Be appalled, O heavens, has any other nation done such a thing? Jeremiah cried, speaking Your very word. that your people had committed two sins. They had rejected you, the fountain of living waters, and hewn for themselves broken cisterns that can hold no water. And Lord, surely as a nation, that is what we have done. And we grieve. And we beg for your Holy Spirit to come. Lord, to grant repentance and faith in you. And that people would see that they are chasing mirages. As we read there in Isaiah 55, you ask, why are you spending money for what does not satisfy? Lord, we pray that you would cause the people of this land to awaken from their stupor of denying reality. And instead of chasing after the empty mirages of what people are chasing in our day, they would run to you, Lord Jesus, and have not gravel in their mouth, but living water. You, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, awaken the church in our day. Bring revival and reformation. And now bless, Lord, as we sing and then as we come to your table. In Jesus we pray. Amen.